Welcome on in. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you get aboard on a Wednesday as we look forward to the Eagles and the Rams division round weekend. Kyle Quinn behind the glass. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. I want y'all to know there's an island. I think it's in Illinois. It's called Vovo Island. And it's called Vovo Island because it has a Vovo on it.
Like a Vovo, like the car?
Yes.
Why?
The story is, and this is another one of the useless information I have. The story is that there was a car that drove onto this little island, and it got stuck. And so the car's still there, and it's called Vovo Island.
All right. Well, you know what? Maybe one day we'll all get to Vovo Island. We're trying to get to New Orleans. Maybe one day we'll get to Vovo. All right. Before we get started here, if it sounds at all different today, Hugh, I'm pulling a Hugh Douglas today. So, unfortunately, my daughter's not feeling well. So I was actually going to have to take a day off to be with her. And then the idea came up, well, if we get the technology, could you do the show from home? So, Hugh, I'm home today. You're in the studio. We're going to make this work today because we got a big week. Any advice from you on maybe cooking bacon while I'm home like you did back in your day in Atlanta?
You know what? I know this is going to sound kind of crazy, but if you put a little bit of water in the pan while you're cooking the bacon, it helps make it a little flatter and it keeps it from popping as much. So yeah, put a little water. If you're going to make some bacon, put a little water in that pan.
And make sure it's loud enough that everyone on
everybody can hear you. And then you can alienate yourself like I did when I had with my coworkers.
That's always the goal. All right, yes. Welcome in, everyone. We got a lot. There it is. Yep, yeah, I'll be frying in the background. We got a lot to discuss today. An hour from now, Seth Jordan will be with us at 1 o'clock today, Elliott Shore Parks. And, of course, at 12 o'clock, we'll have Nick Sirianni live as he speaks this for the first time midweek. Eagles will practice today, first practice as we get set for the game against the Los Angeles Rams. And, Hugh, it's interesting because the Eagles, in some ways, Hugh, wild card weekend played out maybe as good as you can imagine, right? Because I think when we talked last week about the potential matchup and potentially what could happen, wild card round to the divisional round, Hugh, I think a lot of people probably felt like they wanted the Rams. The Rams mm-hmm. were maybe the best possible matchup for the Eagles. So, Hugh, when you think about what happened this first weekend and you kind of look forward now, did what happened wild card weekend, does everything that's happened so far in the playoffs make you feel better about the Eagles' chances to get to the Super Bowl, worse, the same? Hugh, where are you at after one weekend of the playoffs, watching the Eagles play, watching the way everything else played out? You feel better, worse, the same about the Eagles' chances to get to the Super Bowl?
Let me just say this, and I'll let you figure it out. I called my cousins in Texas. Texas is like what? In Houston. I want to say, off the top of my head, probably like four or five hours away from Louisiana. And I asked my cousin Jerry. I told Rod about this. I told them that if when we make this trip to Louisiana, I'm gonna need some of that banana pudding that you make with that made with ice cream. It tastes like nothing you've ever had before because they make it with Bluebell ice cream. I know nobody up here knows what Bluebell ice cream is because we do the Turkey Hill and all the other good ice cream that we have up this way. But Bluebell ice cream in the South is banging. And she makes banana pudding with Bluebell ice cream. So I'm making a trip, or I'm asking her to be ready to make me a big old pan of that. So that's how confident I am about this Eagles trip to Louisiana.
So it sounds to me like your mind on this hasn't changed. Like
not at all. I'm unwavering. I am unwavering.
Okay.
And you know what's funny? I know we're gonna get into it, but I just find it fascinating that, I mean, we have a smart, savvy fan base, you know, and I commend them for the time that they spend watching this team and all this other good stuff. But the level of complaint that we are having about our quarterback and the way that he played and the fact that we've advanced is interesting, to say the least. It's very, very interesting.
Did you expect anything less, Hugh Douglas? I mean, that's kind of what we do here. And look, I think it's interesting because they did win the game. And, Hugh, you look at the other games around the NFL this past weekend, and a lot of quarterbacks didn't play well. And we talked about that on Monday and Tuesday. You know, Justin Herbert didn't play well. Jordan Love didn't play well. And Jalen Hurts wasn't great, but he didn't turn the football over. And last week, if you had said to me, we're getting the Rams here in division around weekend, I would have said that's a win. Like, that's I'll take that. I said it on Monday. I didn't really want to see the Vikings. You know, the thing, it all played out a certain way to where the Eagles get a home game this weekend, and they are clearly the favorite. But I'd be lying to everyone and to you and to Kyle Hugh if I said I felt better about their chances to get to the Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl after watching this past weekend. Couple things. One, I do think that Jalen Hurts in the passing game really just – it was just blah. And I was hoping for more. I know you said last week, and you were right, that we shouldn't expect more because it was his first game off the concussion. But you look at some of the stats out there. I mean, Chio Kapati had a great stat over at the Ringer that it was one of the least efficient games a winning quarterback's had in the playoffs in a decade. It just was – it didn't give me a lot of hope for the passing game moving forward. We talked yesterday about how guys maybe weren't open either, so it's not just Jalen, it's that too. And I think about what I saw around the NFL this weekend, and most of the games, the better coach and the better quarterback won the football game. That included this past Sunday, because Jalen Hurts and Sirianni, they're better than LaFleur and Jordan Love. But I don't know how many more games the rest of the way we're going to have the better coach-quarterback combination, including this game coming up against the Los Angeles Rams. Hugh, I don't feel terrible. Like, I don't want to come on here and be like, oh, they're screwed. No, I think they're going to win this weekend against the Rams. But, Hugh, I wanted to come out of wildcard weekend feeling better about the Eagles. And I don't feel any better. Hugh, do you feel better, or do you just feel exactly the way you felt last weekend?
I felt confident. I feel confident that this team is going to make it to the Super Bowl. And I'll tell you why. I hear what you're saying. But what is the common denominator in all the teams that went home this weekend? They didn't take care of the football. Bottom line. Jalen Hurts took care of the football. Jalen Hurts, think about it like this. And I know this probably be hard for a lot of people to fathom. But think about it like this. Jalen Hurts probably knew he wasn't on top of his game, or he didn't have his best game going into it. So Jalen Hurts made a conscious effort not to put the ball in harm's way and give us a chance to win. It doesn't have to look pretty, man. There's a lot of people that play in the NFL that are at home watching TV right now, watching these games that are going to happen this weekend. We're not one of those teams. And I'm not going to sit here and tell anybody to be grateful for that, but we are still alive in this playoff hunt. And the problems that we're talking about, I feel like going into this game that we put it like this, Joe, we have the opportunity to correct them. There's a lot of teams – what's his name? Sam Darnold is at home right now. Woulda, coulda, shoulda. That's what he's doing. Woulda, coulda. Oh, damn, I wish I would have did this. Maybe if I wouldn't have got sacked 8 times or 9 times in the game, maybe I'll still be playing. Maybe if I could have, you know, saw some open receivers and got the ball to him, we would still be playing. We're not doing that. And that's the bottom line. The bottom line is to win and advance. And that's what we did. We won the game, albeit it was ugly, but we advanced. Let's get ready for the Rams when they come to town.
Yeah, let's do that. 215-592-9494. Do you feel better? Do you feel worse? What are you feeling on the Eagles' chances to win the Super Bowl after the first weekend of the playoffs? One other thing that played out this weekend, and it's based on how you feel about it, but it does certainly impact the path here. So the Commanders won the game, right? The Commanders beat the Bucs. That means the Bucs didn't come here, and for a lot of people, I know for Hugh, that's a good thing, because the Bucs represented a team that's been kryptonite for Jalen Hurts. It also means the Commanders, who are probably the biggest underdog, them and the Texans left in this whole thing, they're going to Detroit. And I'm not saying that game is no doubt Detroit's going to win. I think they are. But obviously the Commanders are good. But it probably sets up the Commanders lose, Lions win, which means we got to go to Detroit. You know, there was maybe a little hope Detroit come, you know, we get the home game in the title game, not have to go to Detroit. I think that's less likely now. 215-592-9494. Let's hear from Jalen Hurts talking about how it doesn't matter how you win, especially around this time of the year.
Does it matter how you win this time of year?
You know that doesn't matter. You know that doesn't matter. It's all about winning, you know, and that's the only thing. You know, we've gotten to the point we are. So it's about finding ways to win.
And that's, Hugh, isn't that the Eagles the entire season? Finding ways to win.
It doesn't
matter how it looks. Yeah,
it's
been ugly for a lot of the season.
That's it. Not about style points. This is not the time. This ain't college. This is not about style points. This is about figuring out ways to advance and get to the next round. And then you correct those problems. I like the fact that we have these problems that we're talking about. Because guess what we would be doing if we didn't have these problems? We'd be talking about the Phillies, and next year, what the Eagles going to do next year. We're still talking football here in Philadelphia. That's the most important thing right now. We're still talking football.
Yeah, you know what these are? These are first world sports fan problems.
Yeah, first world problems. There you go. There you go, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I agree with that. And the Eagles are favorites to get to the NFC Championship game this weekend. It's a good place to be, and they've earned that. I just don't feel better about their chances after watching Sunday. And maybe this is me, maybe being a little plant-based in the middle of this week, but the way the Rams played on Monday opened my eyes. And I all of a sudden I went from saying, the Rams, to, man, they look like they're playing at a different level than they did for a lot of the season. Brandon Graham spoke a couple days ago on WIP about which team maybe the Eagles would have preferred and why maybe it wasn't the Rams, even though you look at their resume and you're like, they're not that great this season. Let's hear from BG.
Did you have a preference last night between the Rams and the Vikings?
You know what? It's hard to play a team twice. The Vikings for sure was a team that you probably wanted to play to, but you know it didn't matter for real. It mm-hmm. really didn't matter because I know the energy of the game that's going to be on Sunday. Man, it's going to be electric for both teams. We just got to make sure we capture that momentum.
So there's BG talking about it, and you know what? He didn't mince words there. Like, maybe it's going to be challenging to play a team a second time. 215-592-9494. Kyle, how you feeling on this? As we've got 1 week of the postseason down, we start now to turn our attention to the divisional round against the Rams. Are you feeling better, worse about the Eagles' chances to have a Lombardi and a parade here?
So definitely not better. I wouldn't say dramatically worse, but it would be hard for me to say that I feel exactly the same after seeing everything that happened wildcard weekend. Like, the Eagles' defense is awesome. That's something I knew going in. The biggest question mark that I had was going to be whether this offense was going to find its rhythm or, you know, I mean, whether they were going to look how they did against Green Bay or not. And I can't say that was the most inspiring offensive performance against the Packers. Like, I think what it boils down to for me is if we had lined up against a better team on Sunday than Green Bay, we wouldn't be here talking about another game right now. That's how poorly I think the offense played. That can't sustain if we want to go on a deep Super Bowl run. So while we might be able to get away with it again against the Rams, because I don't think the Rams are that good, I don't think it's going to work against the Lions, especially going on the road. Like, and I think you can count on the Lions being in the NFC Championship game because I think they will beat the Commanders. That's a good draw for the Lions, which I think also kind of has to factor into this whole thing. So I definitely don't feel better. I think the biggest thing that can happen for me is seeing the offense look better against the Rams, and that's when I'll be fully back on board with the we're going to win the Super Bowl train. But as of right now, I can't say that Wild Card Weekend made me feel better about this whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, you think about what happened from the last time before we played a game. So we lost to Kobe Dean. That's obviously a significant loss. We'll see how significant, but it's I think it's a significant loss based on how he was playing. A.J. Brown went out there, did not look like himself. The pass game did not inspire. And yeah, we get the Rams, maybe not the toughest draw, but I don't feel better about where we were than a week ago. 215-592-9494. All right, let's have this conversation. Do you feel better today than you did when before the last weekend started as we look forward to the divisional round in the NFL? All right, let's start it off as we normally do here on the Midday Show with Chris in Middletown. What's up, Chris?
Happy hump day.
What's going on, man?
Chris, good morning.
What's up, fellas? Hey, Joe, you know what? You're a good dad. But you know what's refreshing, man? At home, taking care of your daughter, cooking up some bacon, you know, doing the show in your pajamas. Yep, Joe Douglas transformation is complete.
Yeah, I wear pajamas to work, though, so, that's not no.
Yeah, I've become the new Hugh. I'm plant-based about the Eagles this week. I am the new Hugh. Hugh, how do you feel about this? I'm the new
Hugh.
Oh, that's
awesome. We switch roles every week. It's cool. Refreshing.
That does happen a lot around here.
Guys, I feel
ahead,
100% better about this game this week after watching it, and for a couple of reasons. One, no team showed that they were the juggernaut, that they were bulletproof. Like, everybody's got their weaknesses, and, you know, there's no mega giant out there, okay? The most important positive, major positive thing was, dude, our defense balled out. They only gave up 10 points. All right. Like, I think we're looking past that and, you know, looking into the sort of some of the inefficiencies of the offense. The defense gave up 10 points in a playoff game. And, dude, that Packers team, I mean, you could speak to this. The offenses are, in a playoff game, they need to empty the clip. They're going to give you all they got, and they could only muster 10 points. And then on the positive side, looking forward to the Rams matchup, dude, that Rams defense, like, they went full go, emptied the tank, okay, and on Monday night. And I think they're in for a rude awakening because they're probably smelling themselves a little bit. And our offensive line, guys, we have three Pro Bowlers on our offensive line. I mean, this matchup looks really well against for us. And let's remember in the beginning of the year, and I know we want to poo-poo it because it was week one, but they could not get past our offensive line. That's not going to change this Sunday. And as far as that, I do have a serious question for you. Will it, if any, have an effect, the fact that the Rams did play Monday night and we do get one day of extra rest? Does that actually move the needle one way or the other? Guys, I'll listen for your response to you. Thanks for the call.
I think so.
Appreciate it, Chris.
I think so. Because look at the emotion that the Rams played. Would you look at the way the game started when they gave the shout out to the people in LA that are dealing with what they're dealing with out there? They played with a lot of emotion. But you're still displaced. And, you know, when you talk about the travel, the fact that the Eagles have an extra day of rest, that's something that is going to be factored in to the equation when you talk about how this game could potentially play out. So, yeah, I think there's something to that. And the weather. You know, it's supposed to snow. And I tell you, and I say this all the time, man, it's a different animal coming in from the beginning of the game into the half. Now, I've always played on the East Coast, and I've always played in inclement weather from Ohio. So it really never bothered me as much because I've always been in it. But when you have guys that aren't used to that, you could tell. Like when you hit somebody, they're like, oh, they're making that little sound, that wincing sound when you hit them, when you put hands on them. That's a real thing. And I remember thriving off of that. When you hear somebody wince, when you put hands on them, I know it just sounds weird. It took me to a weird moment, but still, when you're on the football field and you're imposing your will on somebody like that, man, it's a beautiful thing. And I think that's going to be the case when you have the LA Rams coming to town. They played a physical game the other night against the Minnesota Vikings. And now,
so they did.
Yeah, and now you got to come here and do that here in Philadelphia.
Well, look, you mentioned this a couple times yesterday, Hugh. They are, or I think you were speaking about the Vikings, but the bottom line is this is a warm weather / dome team that plays out west, right? So that's an advantage for the Eagles. The one thing I keep wrestling in my head of the last time we saw these teams play late November out there, the Eagles just manhandled them. Their offensive line manhandled them. They ran the ball all over them. Saquon was amazing. But I don't know what it is. Something's happened with the Rams since then. Where their defense, I mean, I'm looking at the scores of their games since they had a shootout with Buffalo on December 8th. Since then, here are the points allowed by the Rams defense. 6, 9, 9, and then what did they get up? 9 in the playoff game to Minnesota or whatever it was? Like, they've dominated on the defensive side. So I get it that last time we played them, we beat them. But maybe it's just because I just watched them on Monday. That team impressed me. 215-592-9494. Did everything that happened wildcard weekend, from the Eagles, the way they played, won. Obviously, the passing game, we can't ignore that. And the Rams, the way they played, and the way the whole thing went. Did it change how you feel about an Eagles Super Run? It has changed it for me a little bit. I would have said before this started, I expect the Eagles to have a great shot to make the Super Bowl. The Lions are going to be a big challenge. And now the way I view it is, this week's going to be a challenge, too. I think we're going to have an extra challenge this time against the Los Angeles Rams. Let's talk to Will in the Northeast, who's up next on WIP. What's up, Will?
Dream Team, how y'all doing today?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, Will.
All right. I'm a little worried. I'm not going to lie, man, because I've been looking at the Rams these last couple games they played, man. They look real hungry. They fought their way into the playoffs. So, you know, I don't think this is the same team we played when we played them. I just think they want to win just as bad as we do. But I believe we have a better team, and I know we can beat them again. We just got to have a good game plan when we play them. What I would like to see, even if the defense, like if we get in that backfield, just jump sometime to throw his throwing lane off. You know what I mean? Because sometimes I was noticing in some of them games when they jumped, it threw it took him out of his throwing lane. So let's try and get a little bit of that in. And like I said, man, we just got to have a good game plan, and Jalen just got to have another good game or no turnovers. And let's just keep winning, man. Like, it don't take too much. Let's not overthink it, man. Let's just stick with the basics and win. That's it.
Well, that and especially in the postseason, stick with the game plan, win. Will, good phone call. We appreciate our 215-592-9494. So Will just said there, another good game, turnover-free from Jalen. On the other side, we got to get into the way Jalen played. And Shil Kapadia had a wild statistic this morning in his column at The Ringer about Jalen and comparing it to other quarterback victories in the postseason in the last decade. You're going to want to hear this, plus what Jaws noticed after watching the tape. 215-592-9494. Did everything that happened wildcard weekend change how you feel about an Eagles Super Bowl run? Yes or no? We'll discuss it right here on the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop board. Did everything that happened wildcard weekend change how you feel about an Eagles Super Bowl run? Coming up at 11, we will talk to Seth Joyner, get Seth's take on this. Seth had an adventure his first couple days on WIP this week, going up against the camera and Chuck from Mount Airy. So we're excited to have Seth coming up with us here in just a few minutes, though. But before we get there, though, Hugh, incredible stat Shio Kapadia had, and then we'll hear from Jaws what he thought about Jalen Hurts' game. But incredible stat from Shio Kapadia this week or this morning over at The Ringer about Jalen Hurts and about the game that he played on Sunday against the Green Bay Packers. And look, Hugh, we do this every week. There's different ways to look at how Jalen plays, and if you just want to use the perspective of, hey, they won, he didn't turn the ball over, he didn't make a really bad mistake, well, then I think, you know, you'd say that was fine, right? It was pretty good. We talked about it a lot on Monday and Tuesday. But there's also other ways to look at quarterback play, right? Like how efficient you are, how many yards you throw for per, you know, drop back and all that kind of stuff. Here, Shio Kapadia had a stat over at The Ringer this morning that was really just, I looked at it, I had to read it twice just to make sure I read it correctly. Okay, so last, if you look at Jalen Hurts, and there's a stat called success rate. Hugh, in the last 10 years, no quarterback has won a playoff game with a lower success rate than Jalen Hurts. In terms of each drop back, how often it was actually a successful play versus not a successful play, it was the worst in 10 years. Hugh, we could slice the statistic any way we want. The bottom line is this. They won a game on Sunday by double digits, and they didn't get much out of the passing game. That's what that stat tells me. It's pretty rare to win a playoff game the way Jalen played on Sunday.
And to be honest, I think that's pretty impressive. You know, and I'm not just saying that because we're here, but when you think about
so that makes you feel better when you hear
well,
that?
Well, I know it. I need more play. I need more from my quarterback. I do know that. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line for me is this. I'm advancing. I think that's the biggest thing that a lot of people are missing. And there's an opportunity to get better. Because I say this, Joe. Jalen knows he needs to play better in order to get to ultimately where he wants to be. But you have another week to work on that. Think about, guess who else feels like they could have made it to the Super Bowl if they had played a little bit better? Sam Darnold. He's going home, though. He doesn't have the opportunity. Jalen does. Jordan Love. What's the name? Justin Herbert. Everybody talked about how great he was during the regular season. He played horrible in the playoffs. And guess what? He has to go home and he has to sit on that. He got to sit on that for a whole 6 months until the next season starts. And he gets to do over. He gets another opportunity, but Jalen's in his opportunity now, and he can correct those problems. I'm not expecting Jalen to come out and play the way that he played last Sunday, but I'm not expecting Jalen to go out there and throw for 300 yards either. I'm expecting Jalen to do whatever it takes to advance and get to the next game, and that's the only thing that matters this weekend. How he does that. He does that by proper preparation, going out there and correcting the mistakes that he made this weekend that put him in a position where he's getting all this ire and fire because he didn't play well. But guess what? He has the lowest production of any quarterback that's ever been in the playoffs. That's pretty impressive for a guy who didn't play well and still won the game, in my opinion.
Well, and they won by 12. I mean, so there's different ways you can look at it. Like, you could look at it in one way and say, oh, my goodness. Like, if he keeps playing like that or they keep getting this little out of the passing game.
If,
they're going to get picked off. Or, Hugh, the other way to look at it, and Shio wrote this in his column, is they still won by 12, right? And if Saquon doesn't go down, they probably win the game by 19. He could have easily run for a touchdown. So maybe it just shows how great the Eagles are, Hugh, that they can win. Their team is so good that they can win even when he doesn't play that great.
All of that. And I think that's a testament to Howie and the way that they've built this team. This team wins by playing stout defense and running the football. And we're playing a team that has had trouble stopping the run. So now they're coming into Philadelphia. The weather's going to be cold. They've just come off an emotional game. They got one less day of rest than we have, knowing what's coming down the pipe. That train is coming, and you hear the whistle blowing. What are you going to do to try to slow that train down? Because you're not going to stop it. You're not going to stop the train because you don't have the right personnel to stop the train. But you're trying to slow it down. And if you slow it down enough, then Jalen's going to have opportunities to go out there and make plays. I just don't want Jalen to put the ball in harm's way. That's it. I don't want him to put the ball in harm's way. I want, if Jalen goes into this game and he throws four or five passes and complete those five passes and has no turnovers and we win the game, I'm okay with that. Because you know what that means? That means we get to go to Detroit. And then you pull out all the stops for that, because at that point, it don't matter. You know what I mean? At that point, you're one game away from going to the Super Bowl. Do what you have to do to get to that game, and then we'll figure that out when we get to that game. Cross that bridge when we get to it.
I like that. Well, you know what? That's what they've been doing the whole season. And for as much as I have been saying at some point they're going to need more, they have done it. I mean, the evidence continues to pile up. They win this way, even though it feels like, man, they need more there. 215-592-9494. Let's hear from Ron Jaworski, his thoughts after watching Jalen Hurts, the way he played and the offense looked against the Green Bay Packers.
A big commentary yesterday floating around, and I think there's truth to it. The Eagles receivers didn't get open as much as they normally do, and that made it harder for Jalen. Is that what the tape showed you?
No, I looked at the All-22 yesterday, and it did not show me that. There were opportunities. Hey, it wasn't a throwball game where he got a lot of opportunities. And I actually thought, from an overall game management standpoint, I thought Jalen did a really good job. Sometimes it doesn't show up in basically, you know, to the optic or the eye or the numbers, but, you know, the audible Dallas Goedert was phenomenal. It was a phenomenal call. The Packers are not a blitzing team. They only blitzed five times in the game, and they paid a dear price when he went to the audible to Goddard. Goddard obviously made a hell of a play.
Yeah.
But Jalen got him in the right play, and that's the quarterback's biggest role: get out of bad plays, and he did.
Well, he did, and that is his biggest role: get out of bad plays, put them in a good place, and obviously score points. That's the biggest job for the quarterback. And on Sunday, they scored 22. Could have been more. They did get a gift early with the fumble recovery for a short field. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop over. Let's have the discussion. Did everything that happened Wild Card Weekend change how you feel about the Eagles making a real run and winning Lombardi? Let's have a parade here. Yes or no? It did for me. It didn't, I'm sure, for a lot of people. Let's talk through it. Jeff in Wilmington is up next on WIP.
What's up, guys?
What's going on, man?
Hey, Jeff. Good morning.
Joe, you're putting in the work at home, man. I love it. I love it.
Listen, it's a playoff week, Jeff. We're making it work. It's a team effort here. Jeff, what are you feeling this morning?
I forget how old your kids are, but I'm expecting to hear some Sesame Street or some, you know, Blues Clues or some of that stuff in the background.
You're close. There's a show called Bluey now, which is like an Australian family.
That's true.
My daughter's watching Bluey as we talk right now. Yep.
There you go. All right. So
you're missing out on Bluey, Kyle.
I feel the same as I did before. I've been confident this whole time. You know, the biggest thing in the playoffs when you get to this time of the year is, you know, taking care of the ball. And that's what we do. You know, those other guys that are home now, they turn the ball over. We've got the better running back. We've got a quarterback that rarely turns the ball over, you know, save for the first four games of the season when he was doing a little bit. And he's been holding on to the ball pretty good here. So with the best offensive line and arguably the best defense in the league this year, I feel the same as I did before. I expect them to get to the Super Bowl.
Well, you know, and I think the way you frame it there, it's nothing's changed for them. It's what's changed in our perception of it, right, Hugh? Like, this is they've been playing the same game the whole year, or at least since the bye, right? Week five, Hugh, that the Eagles' game plan and the way they play and then the way we feel off it, nothing's really changed since the beginning of October here. This is who they are.
No question about – oh, I'm sorry, Jeff. You got it.
No, that's all right, Hugh. I was going to say, you know, you were saying it, been saying it all along. You know, these other guys are home. Take care of the ball. Now, Joe, you have said you need to see Jalen, the offense in general, or Jalen do better. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, yeah, we would like to see that. But, dude, I'm just as happy, you know, with the way they're winning right now. And come parade time, if there is one, nobody's going to be yelling out, hey, you suck, you didn't throw for 300 yards, or the offense didn't, you know, have five touchdowns a game. Nobody's going to care about that. So, you know.
Well, they won't. No, I mean, the devil's in the deep. Like, I mean, you go back. I mean, we always talk about this. And, Jeff, we appreciate the call. I mean, Hugh, no one cares that the Eagles' defense in the Super Bowl against the Patriots when they won really got torched for 90% of the game, right? What do we remember? Brandon Graham making a play, a strip sack. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you remember. It's one of those things where I hope we get to the point, Joe, and I feel like we are, where, you know, I'm trying to keep receipts of everybody that's talking about Jalen's play and how bad he looks when we get to the Super Bowl and win it. And then I just want to, you know, and I'm not going to say anything, but, you know, then you listen to see who were the ones that was complaining about it and how the story changes. Because, again, I know, Jalen, nobody's sitting here, well, at least I'm not, saying that Jalen looked great Sunday. Not saying that. But Jalen won Sunday. And you can sit here and we can split hairs and say, oh, well, he didn't win. It was so-and-so. Okay, we can do that. And we can sit here and talk about how bad he looked at quarterback. He's still playing. I mean, that's the bottom line. Win in advance in the playoffs. And he was coming off a concussion. No excuses. But I expect Jalen to play better than he played last week. And he gets that opportunity. He gets the opportunity.
Well, he does, and Sam Darnold doesn't, and Justin Herbert doesn't. I mean, that's the difference, right? Like, he gets another shot to keep playing well here.
Exactly.
And moving the thing forward. And that – look, I don't – if they win 3-0, I don't care. I mean, the bottom line is we want to win. We're trying to get eastbound and down and get to New Orleans in a few weeks. That's the whole point. I mean, we got our hotel rooms booked. I mean, here, we're ready to go. We want to get to New Orleans. I just look at it like this. Like, when the game when the weekend started last week – I was hoping, and maybe it was crazy hope, that I would look at the offense, I'd look at the quarterback play, and it's not just him. And I know when people we have these discussions, it always comes back to the quarterback. That's the way it works in the NFL. It wasn't just him. I mean, Hugh, we discussed this a little bit yesterday. The coaching, the concepts on offense on Sunday looked a little
antiquated.
Guys weren't
little antiquated,
really,
yeah.
Yeah. And then you have the fact that AJ didn't look like he was running well. So when I say I don't feel as great today as I did a week ago and after Wild Card Weekend, it's not just about Jalen. I don't want to make it seem like he's the only thing. We know there's a lot of other players here. He's hugely important. He's the quarterback. But, Hugh, they also now have to overcome the N'Kobe Dean thing. So that factors in my mind. Like, can they keep winning like this, Hugh? Sure. But is it too much to ask, or are we asking a lot? Are they putting a lot on their defense to continue to hold teams down? I don't know how big of a loss N'Kobe will be till Sunday, but, I mean, they lost a piece that was playing really well on this defense. That's a challenge now, Hugh, for Vic Fangio and this group to overcome and keep putting zeros up and forcing punts.
I don't think so. Not for the number one defense in the league. Not for the number one defense that didn't give up the most points in the league, because that's their job. You talk about – I look at the Detroit Lions defense and how Coach Glenn has piecemealed that thing together. Piecemealed it together. And they played well enough to hold serve all year long by losing 13 starters. And you mean to tell me that the number one defense in the NFL, you can't put that on their shoulders and they can't rise to the occasion? I mean, and I'm not trying to, you know, and this is not me trying to be petty or anything like that, but that's how you look at it as a defensive player. I mean, it's the truth, Joe. When you look at the adversity that you face going into this season, being a lackluster defense, when you have a guy that is a special teams player, I saw a stat the other day, and his whole time in New Orleans, he had like, what, 90-something tackles in 4 years. Hell, he had more than that in one season here. Listen, every time the bar has been raised, this defense answered the bell. These guys answered the bell. And so for me to ask them to do a little bit more for 3 more weeks, that's nothing. My coach used to have a saying, Coach Billy Joe, he said, you can wrestle a bear for 3 weeks. He said, hell, man, we're this close. You can wrestle a bear for 3 weeks. I mean, it was outrageous, but you get what I'm saying.
Could you wrestle a bear for?
I mean, in the situation that we're in, no, I couldn't. But I'm saying,
hold on a second.
But it was the way he would say it. You could do anything. Like, we'd be in practice, we'd be like, "Suck it up, man! It's only 2 hours left. You can do anything for 2 hours. You can fight a shark for 2 hours." You could say something like that, and everybody would kind of laugh. But you get my point. It's like when you're working out.
Would you ever wrestle a bear? I need to know this.
No,
would you ever wrestle a bear?
No, I ain't that guy.
Does he look insane to you?
No, but the point is this. And anybody that works out knows this, when you're on your last couple of sets, 5 miles away from home, the most accidents occur 5 miles away from home. You can push through this. You can push through anything. Like a couple, last set, best set. You're almost at the home stretch. with a bunch of cats. It's only two or three cats on that team that knows what it's like to have confetti flowing through their hair. And I'm pretty sure they're telling stories about how that moment was here in Philadelphia. And guys are sitting around like they're sitting around a campfire. And they're looking at it with their little legs popped up, looking like, oh, my gosh, that sounds so wonderful. They want to be a part of that. They want to be a part of that success. So if this is what you got to do, if this is what you want, this is what you got to do.
You know why most accidents occur within 5 miles of your home, right?
Why is that?
It's because most of your driving is within that radius of your house.
No, I mean, it was just a saying. I mean, I never
put had to put that out there.
No, I mean, it's fine, but I never put that much thought into it. But, yeah, I get what you're coming from. But yeah,
Hugh, I actually never did either. I never really thought about it.
I just remember it used to be a saying
that
was said a whole lot.
So I understand what you're saying. It's a good point. Like, and the Lions example is a fair one. Like, we can overcome N'Kobe Dean. They've overcome losing 13 guys, right? And if you're really that good, you're going to figure it out. But Kyle, what I keep coming back to is, yeah, the Lions defense has overcome a lot, but they also have a lot of margin for error, right? Like, if they have a down quarter or a down half, or they have a couple possessions they let the other team score, they know, like I watched that Monday night game when the Lions went to San Francisco 3 weeks ago, and they didn't really have to have the game, but they tried. And they got torched for half that game by the Niners, but they made a couple stops, and I think they knew deep down, if we just make a couple, our offense is going to do its thing, and that's enough. Like, for the Eagles now, can they survive N'Kobe being out? Yeah, they can. But the margin for error for this Eagles defense is small, because if they let a couple touchdowns up, all of a sudden it's like, uh-oh, we probably have a nail-biter because we're not scoring much.
Because the Lions' offense is, like, the most explosive probably in the whole league. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs at any given moment could rip off a 75-yard touchdown run, and all of a sudden they got seven on your head, like, just like that. So while their defense might not be as good as the Eagles, their offense can score almost at will. And that's why I think when we do match up against them, it really will be an interesting matchup, because Vic Fangio's defense allows, I think, the fewest explosive plays of any defense in the league. And the Lions are probably up there in the amount of explosive plays. So,
yeah, they have to be number one. Yeah. So, look, I understand it. And the Eagles defense can overcome it. I watched the whole weekend play out. AJ's hobbling. N'Kobe's gone. The offense with the passing game looked blah again. And I'd be lying, I said, if I felt better about this. I feel either the same or a little bit worse about the whole operation. 215-592-9494. All right, let's go to Dwight, who's in Pottstown, who's up next on WIP. Hey, Dwight.
Dwight,
what's up, buddy?
I want to talk about how we keep on talking about all the stats that Jalen Hurts is not putting up, whereas the entire team has been holding strong this entire season, and that's been what they've been. I understand what you guys are saying and everything, too. Actually, I like what you've been saying about how the defense has been holding strong. And then also on the other side, if we get to the Lions – this weekend, I think that we're going to win because the Rams don't have as good of a run defense, and this weekend is going to be through the run because of the rain and the snow that we're going to be getting, and it's going to be cold. And L.A., they aren't used to that. So I think that we're just going to run the ball and win the game that way. But when we go up against the Lions, I think we're going to control the ball as well, and we're just going to run it down their throat.
Well, if they do that, sure. But, like, there's no guarantee we can get them off the field, Dwight. I mean, that's going to be the best, example of great offense versus great defense, right? If we can get them off the field and play keep away, sure. But they also might hold the ball, too.
Yeah, honestly, this last game really showed me that the rest of our team is doing great, and I have full confidence in the entire team. And really, that as long as Jalen Hurts can control that ball, I think we got it, and we can at least – match up with anyone that we play, and I know that we can. The only team that really, like, if we have to go against that, I'm like, maybe we need Jalen Hurts to play like Joe Burrow or something, then it would be the Ravens. That would be the team that I would be like, he needs to step up and play his best game ever.
Yeah, the funny part is, of all these potential matchups that we could see in a Super Bowl, and we appreciate the call, Dwight, Hugh, of all of them that we could see, right, I'm going to exclude the Texans. I don't think they're good enough to make it. But it's, you know, the Ravens, the Bills, the Chiefs. The one we faced this year is the Ravens, Hugh, and we actually held them down. Like that, you know, of all of them thinking like, oh, we're going to have to score a lot that game, and maybe it'd be different, Hugh, next time we face them, but they did hold the Ravens down. I mean, that was a defensive game.
Yeah, And they played extremely well in that game, yep. Man. You talk about I go back to that third quarter where the Ravens had the ball for almost the whole quarter, and get no points out of it. That was pretty impressive, man. They've been playing well. So to sit here and ask my defense to do a little bit more than what they've been doing all season long, I don't think that's a big ask. I really don't. I really don't feel like you're putting them in a position where you're saying this task is too big for me. I mean, those guys play with a lot of passion. You look at Zach Bond, and he plays with a lot of passion, man. All those guys play with a lot of passion. So I don't see this being and especially coming from where some of these guys come from and the programs that they've been in, they know what this moment means, and you want to keep this feeling going. The one thing that I can remember vividly about being in the playoffs, especially here, because that was the only place I've ever been in the playoffs, is that no matter what you felt like, when you got out there on Sunday, it didn't matter. You just played. You didn't feel like, say, if your back was tired or your hamstring was tweaked a little bit. Once you got out there, man, and you heard that crowd yelling and screaming, it didn't matter. And when the game kicked off, didn't feel the weather or any of that. That's us here. It's not going to be like that for those cats in L.A. They're going to come here, and it's going to already feel hostile. And then when that cold-ass air get to whipping around and, you know, you get in that second half and you got to come back outside and it's a little bit chillier, yeah. Then
you're and dark, because we did establish the Rams are afraid of the dark.
Yeah, and it's going to be a little different.
Well, that'd be great, especially if the elements get to them as a team that's not quite used to playing in this all the time. All right, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. Did everything happen wild card weekend, from AJ, you know, not being himself physically, to the passing game, to N'Kobe's injury, to the win, obviously, and the way they played on defense, and what happened around the league? Did it change how you feel about an Eagles Super Bowl run? Yes or no? 215-592-9494. That's how you join us. So Seth Joyner is going to come up next. His thoughts on the Eagles, the quarterback, everything else from Wild Card Weekend, and the matchup here coming up against the Rams. And we'll get back to all your phone calls. 215-592-9494 for Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Let's talk bacon. Let's specifically talk about Hatfield bacon. I hope my man Joe over there, he's hanging out with his little girl. You know, I hope he's making her some bacon, because bacon is awesome. It's delicious, and there are so many different flavors and cuts to choose from, like hardwood smoked bacon, applewood smoked bacon. They got thick wood, hard. They got thick cut hardwood bacon. Then there's my favorite.
How about that D, baby?
It's that thick cut maple brown sugar bacon. So do yourself a favor and go get you some Hatfield bacon today. Head to simplyhatfield.com and put some pork on your fork.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop board. Did everything that happened wildcard weekend change how you feel about an Eagles Super Bowl run? Coming up at 11, we will talk to Seth Joyner, get Seth's take on this. Seth had an adventure his first couple days on WIP this week, going up against the camera and Chuck from Mount Airy. So we're excited to have Seth coming up with us here in just a few minutes, though. But before we get there, though, Hugh, incredible stat Shio Kapadia had, and then we'll hear from Jaws what he thought about Jalen Hurts' game. But incredible stat from Shio Kapadia this week or this morning over at The Ringer about Jalen Hurts and about the game that he played on Sunday against the Green Bay Packers. And look, Hugh, we do this every week. There's different ways to look at how Jalen plays, and if you just want to use the perspective of, hey, they won, he didn't turn the ball over, he didn't make a really bad mistake, well, then I think, you know, you'd say that was fine, right? It was pretty good. We talked about it a lot on Monday and Tuesday. But there's also other ways to look at quarterback play, right? Like how efficient you are, how many yards you throw for per, you know, drop back and all that kind of stuff. Here, Shio Kapadia had a stat over at The Ringer this morning that was really just, I looked at it, I had to read it twice just to make sure I read it correctly. Okay, so last, if you look at Jalen Hurts, and there's a stat called success rate. Hugh, in the last 10 years, no quarterback has won a playoff game with a lower success rate than Jalen Hurts. In terms of each drop back, how often it was actually a successful play versus not a successful play, it was the worst in 10 years. Hugh, we could slice the statistic any way we want. The bottom line is this. They won a game on Sunday by double digits, and they didn't get much out of the passing game. That's what that stat tells me. It's pretty rare to win a playoff game the way Jalen played on Sunday.
And to be honest, I think that's pretty impressive. You know, and I'm not just saying that because we're here, but when you think about
so that makes you feel better when you hear
well,
that?
Well, I know it. I need more play. I need more from my quarterback. I do know that. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line for me is this. I'm advancing. I think that's the biggest thing that a lot of people are missing. And there's an opportunity to get better. Because I say this, Joe. Jalen knows he needs to play better in order to get to ultimately where he wants to be. But you have another week to work on that. Think about, guess who else feels like they could have made it to the Super Bowl if they had played a little bit better? Sam Darnold. He's going home, though. He doesn't have the opportunity. Jalen does. Jordan Love. What's the name? Justin Herbert. Everybody talked about how great he was during the regular season. He played horrible in the playoffs. And guess what? He has to go home and he has to sit on that. He got to sit on that for a whole 6 months until the next season starts. And he gets to do over. He gets another opportunity. But Jalen's in his opportunity now. And he can correct those problems. I'm not expecting Jalen to come out and play the way that he played last Sunday. But I'm not expecting Jalen to go out there and throw for 300 yards either. I'm expecting Jalen to do whatever it takes to advance and get to the next game. And that's the only thing that matters this weekend. How he does that by proper preparation, going out there and correcting the mistakes that he made this weekend that put him in a position where he's getting all this ire and fire because he didn't play well. But guess what? He has the lowest production of any quarterback that's ever been in the playoffs. That's pretty impressive for a guy who didn't play well and still won the game, in my opinion.
Well, and they won by 12. I mean, so there's different ways you can look at it. Like, you could look at it in one way and say, oh, my goodness. Like, if he keeps playing like that or they keep getting this little out of the passing game.
If, right,
they're going to get picked off. Or, Hugh, the other way to look at it, and Shio wrote this in his column, is they still won by 12, right? And if Saquon doesn't go down, they probably win the game by 19. He could have easily run for a touchdown. So maybe it just shows how great the Eagles are, Hugh, that they can win. Their team is so good that they can win even when he doesn't play that great.
All of that. And I think that's a testament to Howie and the way that they've built this team. This team wins by playing stout defense and running the football. And we're playing a team that has had trouble stopping the run. So now they're coming into Philadelphia. The weather's going to be cold. They've just come off an emotional game. They got one less day of rest than we have, knowing what's coming down the pipe. That train is coming, and you hear the whistle blowing. What are you going to do to try to slow that train down? Because you're not going to stop it. You're not going to stop the train because you don't have the right personnel to stop the train. But you're trying to slow it down. And if you slow it down enough, then Jalen's going to have opportunities to go out there and make plays. I just don't want Jalen to put the ball in harm's way. That's it. I don't want him to put the ball in harm's way. I want, if Jalen goes into this game and he throws four or five passes and complete those five passes and has no turnovers and we win the game, I'm okay with that. Because you know what that means? That means we get to go to Detroit. And then you pull out all the stops for that, because at that point, it don't matter. You know what I mean? At that point, you're one game away from going to the Super Bowl. Do what you have to do to get to that game, and then we'll figure that out when we get to that game. Cross that bridge when we get to it.
I like that. Well, you know what? That's what they've been doing the whole season. And for as much as I have been saying at some point they're going to need more, they have done it. I mean, the evidence continues to pile up. They win this way, even though it feels like, man, they need more there. 215-592-9494. Let's hear from Ron Jaworski, his thoughts after watching Jalen Hurts, the way he played and the offense looked against the Green Bay Packers.
A big commentary yesterday floating around, and I think there's truth to it. The Eagles receivers didn't get open as much as they normally do, and that made it harder for Jalen. Is that what the tape showed you?
No, I looked at the All-22 yes, and it did not show me that. There were opportunities. Hey, it wasn't a throwball game where we got a lot of opportunities. And I actually thought, from an overall game management standpoint, I thought Jalen did a really good job. Sometimes it doesn't show up in basically, you know, to the optic or the eye or the numbers, but, you know, the audible Dallas Goedert was phenomenal. It was a phenomenal call. The Packers are not a blitzing team. In fact, they only blitzed five times in the game, and they paid a dear price when he went to the audible to Goedert. Goedert obviously made a hell of a play.
Yeah.
But Jalen got him in the right play, and that's the quarterback's biggest role: get out of bad plays, and he did.
Well, he did, and that is his biggest role: get out of bad plays, put them in a good place, and obviously score points. That's the biggest job for the quarterback. And on Sunday, they scored 22. Could have been more. They did get a gift early with the fumble recovery for a short field. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. Let's have the discussion. Did everything that happened wild card weekend change how you feel about the Eagles making a real run and winning Lombardi? Let's have a parade here. Yes or no? It did for me. It didn't, I'm sure, for a lot of people. Let's talk through it. Jeff in Wilmington is up next on WIP.
What's up, guys?
What's going on, man?
Hey, Jeff. Good morning.
Joe, you're putting in the work at home, man. I love it. I love it.
Listen, it's a playoff week, Jeff. We're making it work. It's a team effort here. Jeff, what are you feeling this morning?
I forget how old your kids are, but I'm expecting to hear some Sesame Street or some, you know, Blues Clues or some of that stuff in the background.
You're close. There's a show called Bluey now, which is like an Australian family.
That's true.
My daughter's watching Bluey as we talk right now. Yep.
There you go. All right. So
you're missing out on Bluey, Kyle.
I feel the same as I did before. I've been confident this whole time. You know, the biggest thing in the playoffs when you get to this time of the year is, you know, taking care of the ball. And that's what we do. You know, those other guys that are home now, they turn the ball over. We've got the better running back. We've got a quarterback that rarely turns the ball over. You know, save for the first four games of the season when he was doing a little bit. And he's been holding on to the ball pretty good here. So with the best offensive line and arguably the best defense in the league this year, I feel the same as I did before. I expect them to get to the Super Bowl.
Well, you know, and I think the way you frame it there, it's nothing's changed for them. It's what's changed in our perception of it, right, Hugh? Like, this is they've been playing the same game the whole year, or at least since the bye, right? Week five, Hugh, that the Eagles' game plan and the way they play and then the way we feel off it, nothing's really changed since the beginning of October here. This is who they are.
No question about – oh, I'm sorry, Jeff, you got it.
No, that's right, Hugh. I was going to say, you know, you were saying it, been saying it all along. You know, these other guys are home. Take care of the ball. Now, Joe, you have said you need to see Jalen, the offense in general, or Jalen do better. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, yeah, we would like to see that. But, dude, I'm just as happy, you know, with the way they're winning right now. And come parade time, if there is one, nobody's going to be yelling out, hey, you suck, you didn't throw for 300 yards, or the offense didn't, you know, have five touchdowns a game. Nobody's going to care about that. So, you know.
Well, they won't. No, I mean, the devil's in the deep. Like, I mean, you go back. I mean, we always talk about this. And, Jeff, we appreciate the call. I mean, Hugh, no one cares that the Eagles' defense in the Super Bowl against the Patriots when they won really got torched for 90% of the game, right? What do we remember? Brandon Graham making
Brandon,
a play.
A
strip sack. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you remember. It's one of those things where I hope we get to the point, Joe, and I feel like we are, where, you know, I'm trying to keep receipts of everybody that's talking about Jalen's play and how bad he looks when we get to the Super Bowl and win it. And then I just want to, you know, and I'm not going to say anything, but, you know, then you listen to see who were the ones that was complaining about it and how the story changes. Because, again, I know, Jalen, nobody's sitting here, well, at least I'm not, saying that Jalen looked great Sunday. Not saying that. But Jalen won Sunday. And you can sit here and we can split hairs and say, oh, well, he didn't win. It was so-and-so. Okay, we can do that. And we can sit here and talk about how bad he looked at quarterback. He's still playing. I mean, that's the bottom line. Win in advance in the playoffs. And he was coming off a concussion. No excuses. But I expect Jalen to play better than he played last week. And he gets that opportunity. He gets the opportunity.
Well, he does, and Sam Darnold doesn't, and Justin Herbert doesn't. I mean, that's the difference, right? Like, he gets another shot to keep playing well here.
Exactly.
And moving the thing forward. And that – look, I don't – if they win 3-0, I don't care. I mean, the bottom line is we want to win. We're trying to get eastbound and down and get to New Orleans in a few weeks. That's the whole point. I mean, we got our hotel rooms booked. I mean, Hugh, we're ready to go. We want to get to New Orleans. I just look at it like this. Like, when the weekend started last week – I was hoping, and maybe it was crazy hope, that I would look at the offense, I'd look at the quarterback play, and it's not just him. And I know when people we have these discussions, it always comes back to the quarterback. That's the way it works in the NFL. It wasn't just him. I mean, Hugh, we discussed this a little bit yesterday. The coaching, the concepts on offense on Sunday looked a little
antiquated.
Guys weren't
little antiquated,
really,
yeah.
Yeah. And then you have the fact that AJ didn't look like he was running well. So when I say I don't feel as great today as I did a week ago and after Wild Card Weekend, it's not just about Jalen. I don't want to make it seem like he's the only thing. We know there's a lot of other players here. He's hugely important. He's the quarterback. But Hugh, they also now have to overcome the N'Kobe Dean thing. So that factors in my mind. Like, can they keep winning like this? Hugh, sure. But is it too much to ask, or are we asking a lot? Are they putting a lot on their defense to continue to hold teams down? I don't know how big of a loss N'Kobe will be till Sunday, but, I mean, they lost a piece that was playing really well on this defense. That's a challenge now, Hugh, for Vic Fangio and this group to overcome and keep putting zeros up and forcing punts.
I don't think so. Not for the number one defense in the league. Not for the number one defense that didn't give up the most points in the league, because that's their job. You talk about – I look at the Detroit Lions defense and how Coach Glenn has piecemealed that thing together. Piecemealed it together. And they played well enough to hold serve all year long by losing 13 starters. And you mean to tell me that the number one defense in the NFL, you can't put that on their shoulders and they can't rise to the occasion? I mean, and I'm not trying to, you know, and this is not me trying to be petty or anything like that, but that's how you look at it as a defensive player. I mean, it's the truth, Joe. When you look at the adversity that you face going into this season, being a lackluster defense, when you have a guy that is a special teams player, I saw a stat the other day, and his whole time in New Orleans, he had like, what, 90-something tackles in 4 years. Hell, he had more than that in one season here. Listen, every time the bar has been raised, this defense answered the bell. These guys answered the bell. And so for me to ask them to do a little bit more for 3 more weeks, that's nothing. My coach used to have a saying, Coach Billy Joe, he said, you can wrestle a bear for 3 weeks. He said, hell, man, we're this close. You can wrestle a bear for 3 weeks. I mean, it was outrageous,
wait a second,
but you get what I'm saying.
Could you wrestle a bear for?
I mean, in the situation
no
that we're in, I couldn't. But I'm saying,
hold on a second.
But it was the way he would say it. You could do anything. Like, we'd be in practice, we'd be like, "Suck it up, man! It's only 2 hours left. You can do anything for 2 hours. You can fight a shark for 2 hours. You could say something like that, and everybody would kind of laugh. But you get my point. It's like when
Hugh,
you're working out.
Would you ever wrestle a bear? I need to know this.
No,
would you ever wrestle a bear?
I ain't that guy.
Does he look insane to you?
No, but the point is this. Another saying, anybody that works out knows this, when you're on your last couple of sets, 5 miles away from home, the most accidents occur 5 miles away from home. You can push through this. You can push through anything. Like a couple, last set, best set. You're almost at the home stretch. with a bunch of cats. It's only two or three cats on that team that knows what it's like to have confetti flowing through their hair. And I'm pretty sure they're telling stories about how that moment was here in Philadelphia. And guys are sitting around like they're sitting around a campfire. And they're looking at it with their little legs popped up, looking like, oh, my gosh, that sounds so wonderful. They want to be a part of that. They want to be a part of that success. So if this is what you got to do, if this is what you want, this is what you got to do.
You know why most accidents occur within 5 miles of your home, right?
Why is that?
It's because most of your driving is within that radius of your house.
No, I mean, it was just a saying. I mean, I never put
had to put that out there.
No, I mean, it's fine, but I never put that much thought into it. But, yeah, I get what you're coming from. But yeah,
Hugh, I actually never did either. I never really thought about it.
I just remember it used to be a saying
that
was said a whole lot.
So I understand what you're saying. It's a good point. Like, and the Lions example is a fair one. Like, we can overcome N'Kobe Dean. They've overcome losing 13 guys, right? And if you're really that good, you're going to figure it out. But, Kyle, what I keep coming back to is, yeah, the Lions defense has overcome a lot, but they also have a lot of margin for error, right? Like, if they have a down quarter or a down half, or they have a couple possessions they let the other team score, they know, like I watched that Monday night game when the Lions went to San Francisco 3 weeks ago, and they didn't really have to have the game, but they tried. And they got torched for half that game by the Niners, but they made a couple stops, and I think they knew deep down, if we just make a couple, our offense is going to do its thing, and that's enough. Like, for the Eagles now, can they survive N'Kobe being out? Yeah, they can. But the margin for error for this Eagles defense is small, because if they let a couple touchdowns up, all of a sudden it's like, uh-oh, we probably have a nail-biter because we're not scoring much.
Because the Lions' offense is, like, the most explosive probably in the whole league. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs at any given moment could rip off a 75-yard touchdown run, and all of a sudden they got seven on your head, like, just like that. So while their defense might not be as good as the Eagles, their offense can score almost at will. And that's why I think when we do match up against them, it really will be an interesting matchup, because Vic Fangio's defense allows, I think, the fewest explosive plays of any defense in the league. And the Lions are probably up there in the amount of explosive plays. So,
yeah, they have to be number one. Yeah. So, look, I understand it. And the Eagles defense can overcome it. I watched the whole weekend play out. AJ's hobbling. N'Kobe's gone. The offense with the passing game looked blah again. And I'd be lying I said if I felt better about this. I feel either the same or a little bit worse about the whole operation. 215-592-9494. All right, let's go to Dwight, who's in Pottstown, who's up next on WIP. Hey, Dwight.
Dwight,
what's up, buddy?
I want to talk about how we keep on talking about all the stats that Jalen Hurts is not putting up, whereas the entire team has been holding strong this entire season, and that's been what they've been. I understand what you guys are saying and everything, too. Actually, I like what you've been saying about how the defense has been holding strong. And then also on the other side, if we get to the Lions – this weekend, I think that we're going to win because the Rams don't have as good of a run defense, and this weekend is going to be through the run because of the rain and the snow that we're going to be getting, and it's going to be cold. And L.A., they aren't used to that. So I think that we're just going to run the ball and win the game that way. But when we go up against the Lions, I think we're going to control the ball as well, and we're just going to run it down their throat.
Well, if they do that, sure. But, like, there's no guarantee we can get them off the field, Dwight. I mean, that's going to be the best, example of great offense versus great defense, right? If we can get them off the field and play keep away, sure. But they also might hold the ball, too.
Yeah, honestly, this last game really showed me that the rest of our team is doing great, and I have full confidence in the entire team. And really, that as long as if Jalen Hurts can control that ball, I think we got it, and we can at least match up with anyone that we play, and I know that we can. The only team that really, like, if we have to go against that, I'm like, maybe we need Jalen Hurts to play like Joe Burrow or something, then it would be the Ravens. That would be the team that I would be like, he needs to step up and play his best game ever.
Yeah, the funny part is, of all these potential matchups that we could see in a Super Bowl, and we appreciate the call, Dwight, Hugh, of all of them that we could see, right, I'm going to exclude the Texans. I don't think they're good enough to make it. But it's, the Ravens, the Bills, the Chiefs. The one we faced this year is the Ravens, Hugh, and we actually held them down. Like that, of all of them thinking like, oh, we're going to have to score a lot that game, and maybe it'd be different, Hugh, next time we face them, but they did hold the Ravens down. I mean, that was a defensive game.
Yeah, And they played extremely well in that game, yep. Man. You talk about I go back to that third quarter where the Ravens had the ball for almost the whole quarter, and get no points out of it. That was pretty impressive, man. They've been playing well. So to sit here and ask my defense to do a little bit more than what they've been doing all season long, I don't think that's a big ask. I really don't. I really don't feel like you're putting them in a position where you're saying this task is too big for me. I mean, those guys play with a lot of passion. You look at Zach Bond, and he plays with a lot of passion, man. All those guys play with a lot of passion. So I don't see this being and especially coming from where some of these guys come from and the programs that they've been in, they know what this moment means, and you want to keep this feeling going. The one thing that I can remember vividly about being in the playoffs, especially here, because that was the only place I've ever been in the playoffs, is that no matter what you felt like, when you got out there on Sunday, it didn't matter. You just played. You didn't feel like, say, if your back was tired or your hamstring was tweaked a little bit. Once you got out there, man, and you heard that crowd yelling and screaming, it didn't matter. And when the game kicked off, didn't feel the weather or any of that. That's us here. It's not going to be like that for those cats in L.A. They're going to come here, and it's going to already feel hostile. And then when that cold-ass air get to whipping around and, you know, you get in that second half and you got to come back outside and it's a little bit chillier, yeah. Then
you're and dark, because we did establish the Rams are afraid of the dark.
Yeah, and it's going to be a little different.
Well, that'd be great, especially if the elements get to them as a team that's not quite used to playing in this all the time. All right, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. Did everything happen wildcard weekend, from AJ, you know, not being himself physically, to the passing game, to N'Kobe's injury, to the win, obviously, and the way they played on defense, and what happened around the league? Did it change how you feel about an Eagles Super Bowl run? Yes or no? 215-592-9494. That's how you join us. So Seth Joyner is going to come up next. His thoughts on the Eagles, the quarterback, everything else from Wildcard Weekend, and the matchup here coming up against the Rams. And we'll get back to all your phone calls. 215-592-9494 for Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Let's talk bacon. Let's specifically talk about Hatfield bacon. I hope my man Joe over there, he's hanging out with his little girl. You know, I hope he's making her some bacon, because bacon is awesome. It's delicious, and there are so many different flavors and cuts to choose from, like hardwood smoked bacon, applewood smoked bacon. They got thick wood, hard. They got thick cut hardwood bacon. Then there's my favorite.
How about that D, baby?
It's that thick cut maple brown sugar bacon. So do yourself a favor and go get you some Hatfield bacon today. Head to simplyhatfield.com and put some pork on your fork.